I'm Afshin Ratansi and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. This week, Gaza War Coordinator Benjamin Netanyahu received a hero's welcome in the US Congress, but just outside the Capitol building, thousands protested the US-enabled genocidal war in Gaza and the complicity of Joe Biden, finally forced to quit his re-election bid just weeks before the Democratic National Convention in August. But just before Netanyahu addressed Israel lobby bankrolled politicians in Washington, the Beijing Declaration was signed in China by 14 Palestine factions, including Hamas and Fatah, uniting the resistance to NATO nation-armed Israel. Joining me is a man who knows the reality of illegal UK-US-EU armed occupation firsthand. Born in 1994 in Deir al-Bala, Gaza, Ahmed al-Nauk has endured over two decades of Israel's aggression. The murder of his brother Ayman in 2014 drove him to tell his story and create We Are Not Numbers, a platform amplifying Gazan voices. He joins me now from London. Thank you so much, Ahmed, for coming on the show. Just before we get to Netanyahu's address this week and other issues, just remind us what Israel has done to your family.
Well, Israel has done to my family what it has been doing for the past 76 years to the Palestinian people. They have been massacring the Palestinians, ethnically cleanse them, bomb them as they were sleeping in their home. This is what happened to my family. My family were sleeping in their home in a safe area instructed by Israel when an Israeli bomb was dropped on my family, killing all of them. 21 members of my family were slaughtered, were massacred while they were sleeping in their bed. My father, my brothers, my sisters, and my 14 nieces and nephews, who are all children under the age of 13. This is what happened to my family in October last year. And actually, these are the immediate family members that I have lost in this war. But I lost countless others of extended family members. I don't know the number of how many people I have lost. Family members, relatives, friends. I lost count. And this is what has been ongoing for the past 9 months in Gaza. A total destruction of the infrastructure, a total lack of accountability. Massive graves, destruction of hospitals, schools, neighborhoods. I can't, no matter how hard I try to tell you what's going on in Gaza, words won't suffice.
I mean, what's it like actually being in London, knowing that this already unpopular Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, insists on supplying weapons to Netanyahu? Only in the past few days, his Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, his first trip was to see Netanyahu for a photo call, said, "We have to keep supplying the weapons." Do you think any of these British weapons killed your family?
Of course, I know for sure that these British weapons killed my family. I know that my family was killed by an F-16 or F-6 or F-35 bomber. And we know for a fact that parts of these weapons, parts of these vehicles that carried the bomb to my family, and parts of these bombs that killed my family were manufactured in the UK and in the US and some other European countries. So we know for sure, for a fact, that part of the bomb that killed my family was manufactured in the UK. And this is no surprise to us. We know that the UK has been complicit in the war in Palestine since the inception of Israel 76 years ago. It is the UK that gave Israel the Balfour Declaration, in which they gave them what they don't own. They gave them the lands of Palestine, the homes of Palestine to the Zionists. And unfortunately, for the past 76 years, the UK and the US have been complicit in these wars in Gaza. They never apologized for the wrongdoings that they've done on Palestine. And more than that, they have been providing Israel not only with the weaponry to kill us, but also with the diplomatic cover, with the media cover, with everything that Israel desires, with everything Israel needs. And more than that, they're also blocking the ICJ and the ICC from investigating the war crimes in Gaza.
Why do you think Keir Starmer and David Lammy do it? Are they, is it money? Is it ignorance? Is it... What's the reason for them supporting what has been called by these sorts of courts genocide, plausible genocide?
I don't know what drives them to do that, but it doesn't matter. Whatever justification they have, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that they are providing Israel with weapons, they're providing Israel with diplomatic cover, with media coverage in order to massacre the innocent people of Gaza and Palestine. And no matter what excuses they can come up with, it doesn't really matter. And I don't really want to go into details on why do they do that? But the what matters is the outcome, and the outcome is horrible. It's massive. It's genocide. It's genocide against the people in Gaza.
You, of course, said decades. What makes it different this time, and perhaps it is worse than even the Nakba, what we're witnessing, is that the media, which you alluded to, is continuing its usual role in Britain, the BBC and so on. But the people of Britain don't support the genocide. They want a ceasefire. How is it, do you think, that both in Washington, the protesters outside the Capitol building when Netanyahu was speaking, the people of Britain, the weekly almost protests, have managed to know the truth despite what the media has been telling them about what's been happening to Gaza and in what's been happening in Jerusalem?
Well, it tells you a lot, actually. It tells you that the people in the UK and the US and everywhere are no longer buying the spin of the Western media. They no longer lie. They no longer believe the misinformation and misrepresentation of the Palestinian people in the media. And they're defying the media. They're depending on the Palestinian media or the neutral, the alternative media that is spreading in the West right now. But it also tells you to what kind of democracy we live in. What kind of democracy we live in? If the people in the UK, and we know for a fact that the majority of the people in the UK support a ceasefire, the majority of the people in the UK support the Palestinians' rights, the equality, the freedom of the Palestinian people. And nonetheless, Keir Starmer and his government and the previous government that was in the UK did not listen and did not live up to the responsibilities they have. They did not listen to the people they represent. And that tells you a lot about the democracy, the fake democracy that we have, the fake freedom that we have in the West. The West is not as free as it promotes. They are not democratic as they promote. There is only an establishment of elite and political elites that govern the UK, and we have a deep state that governs whatever comes to the foreign policy. And no matter how much there is a change in the government when it comes to the foreign policy, unfortunately, and especially when it comes to Palestine and Israel, these governments want to change a lot. And this is not a surprise. We have known before that, before Keir Starmer came to power, we know that when he came to power, he will not do a lot of a change. He will not make any difference because for them, it's all the same.
Unfortunately. I mean, what does it make you feel when, say, Fergal Keane of the BBC broadcasts, he put out a piece in which 24-year-old Mohamed Bahar, who had Down syndrome, was killed, attacked by dogs, and the piece basically said, or a dog, the piece basically said, he died, which is often a refrain that Comcast Sky News and Rupert Murdoch's Talk TV use.
Well, it made me angry. It made me really angry at that time because I never expected that the BBC have a cruel heart. They do have a cruel heart.
You might have to remind our audience what this case was because it's just one atrocity of so many.
Yes, it's one of many, many atrocities. It was of a person with Down syndrome, and he was beaten by dogs of the Israeli army when they invaded his home, and they forced his family to leave the house, and then they made the dogs bite them until he was killed of this kind of savagery. It was a savage, barbarian attack on a person with disabilities. And how did the BBC cover that? It said that a lonely death of a Palestinian, just a lonely death of a Palestinian. But I was angry, actually, because it showed how cruel the BBC is right now. But I wasn't surprised because this is how the BBC had always covered the news from Israel Palestine. The Palestinians have always been described when they're brutally killed, the BBC would always say Palestinians die. And when Israelis are killed, they would always say they were killed, they were massacred. And I did my dissertation on the BBC coverage on Palestine, actually. And I know this for a fact, all the books that I have read, all the research that has been done on the BBC coverage on Palestine, or most of them, say that the BBC is very biased when it comes to Israel and Palestine. So I wasn't surprised, but I was very angry that despite the genocide that's taking place in Gaza, despite tens of thousands of children and women and men who are civilians killed in a brutal way, in a barbarian way, the BBC still continues to cover the news in a very, very biased way. And for what? For what? To defend Israel, this country that kills civilians, that kills children, that kills women, that kills innocent men. It's really shameful. It's really, really shameful. Shameful, and it's time that the British people wake up to this.
I mean, the BBC did change the headline and said the IDF were involved in the killing.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the media always, the first impression in the media always stays forever. When they publish the first story, this is what matters. And they changed it after a lot of pushback from people, from the audience who have figured this out, and they attack the BBC for doing so. But they have done multiple, they have done countless of mistakes like this before, and people did not pay attention to it.
So
and
in Britain, the same kind of media propaganda about beheaded babies, rape used, this was across British media and the oligarch-owned newspapers?
The fake news of the 40 beheaded babies was in almost all of the front covers of the newspapers here in the West. And people, and until now, actually, this lie was debunked many times ago, but the media still did not apologize, did not correct the mistakes. They have talked a lot of lies. A baby baked in oven, that was completely a lie, misinformation. They have reported these fake news and they never apologized for it. And this is a pattern. This is the pattern that the Western media has always used when they describe Palestine. Palestinians die, they simply die, or misplace themselves, or just happen to die, and the Israelis are massacred.
And you think people should protest at BBC headquarters? What would you say to these journalists? I should say I used to work at the BBC, but what would you say to these journalists? Because Britain's broadcast environment, they banned Russian television, they banned Chinese television, they banned American television from broadcast de facto in Britain.
I would tell them to wake up, because their coverage kills. The coverage of the BBC and other mainstream media in the West kills the Palestinians. They are complicit in the war crimes in Palestine. They are complicit in the genocide. I would tell them to wake up, because history will not forget them. It will be written down in history that the BBC and the mainstream media, they enable the genocide. They are a genocide enabling. Israel would never be able to commit these genocide, these war crimes, without the cover. And the cover, and this cover was provided to them by the mainstream media. So I would like to call them, I want them to watch the news, to watch the videos that come from Gaza, and to be shaken to their core, because those who are being killed in Gaza are humans. They're our brothers and sisters and children, and these people should not be killed in this barbaric way. Children should never be killed. People with disabilities should not be bitten by dogs. And this was not only a case of dogs beating or biting Palestinians. Many, many of these of these cases were proven in the media. A woman, an old woman, was beaten by a dog before, and we have seen a video of that. We have seen a lot of dead children, a lot of body parts for children who were killed intentionally. And also a few days ago, there was a doctor who spoke to the media, and an American doctor, and who said what he saw.
Ahmed Al-Nahouk, I'll have to stop you there. More from the co-founder of We Are Not Numbers after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the co-founder of We Are Not Numbers, Ahmed Al-Nahouk. Ahmed, I rudely interrupted you in the end of part one. You were about to tell me a story about a surgeon in Gaza.
Yes, this surgeon, he was in Gaza. He was operating, doing surgeries in Gaza, and he told the media that the kind of horror that he's seen in Gaza, that he has seen in Gaza, the carnage that's happening in Gaza, he never saw an equivalent of that in the modern history. He's been to many wars before, many earthquakes, but he said that of everything that he has seen in his entire life doesn't match what he has seen in Gaza in the first few weeks when he went there. He told that kids, children were sniped, they were killed intentionally by the Israeli army. This is what's happening in Gaza, and this is what has become the fact. Unfortunately, the Western media doesn't cover that as they should. In fact, they are complicit in covering up for Israel.
And we know, ironically, from a Palestinian writer, Edward Said, the importance of culture That's how Western Europe began to understand the importance of culture and therefore cultural censorship. So as well as media censorship, I mean, do you think you can tie in, I mean, your project, We Are Not Numbers, the importance of culture in that way, to why, say, we didn't hear really about on NATO nation media about the Beijing Declaration, the unity of resistance, finally, of Palestine that's coming together. All we hear occasionally is Palestinians die.
Of course, because this is what the Western media wants to know. They want you to know everything that the Western media wants you to know about Palestine is when Palestinians die, is when the Palestinians launch an attack on Israel. They would never tell you about the culture, about the history of Palestine, the history of the Palestinians who have been living in these lands for hundreds of years, for a millennia. And unfortunately, this is what the media intends to do. And this is what we are trying to defy through the work of We Are Not Numbers. We try to defy the Western media by breaking the stereotypes that they often have on the Palestinians. We tell stories of Palestinians when they're struggling. We also tell stories of the Palestinians in a bright way. We tell the culture, we tell the history, we tell the civilization of the Palestinian people. We tell human stories behind the numbers that we often see in the news, in the Western media. And this is very important because when people read about us, they will realize how much we are similar to each other. Unfortunately, the Western media demonizes the Palestinian all the time. The Palestinians are the demons. And this is what makes the people, the audiences in the West, don't care much about Palestine because they would think of us as we are different. We're not different. We are humans, just like everyone else. In fact, we are an amazing people. We are talented. We are powerful. We're resilient. We are very ancient people. We have been living there for thousands of years. We are the cradle of civilization. We have history.
But is it all the more important then to demonize Palestinians as rapists, hence those stories that were front page news in NATO nation media, and all the more important for British, American and European Union weaponry then to target everything redolent of civilization? I think you've talked before about how many, not only doctors, but professors, all the universities of Gaza, as well as the hospitals. Your father was in construction, that's engineering, building. Every element of civilization of the Palestinians must be wiped out by these NATO weaponry, NATO arms.
Of course, when Israel launched this genocide on the Palestinian people, they did not target the Hamas people, they did not target the militants. They were very concise with what they do, and they wanted to destroy the infrastructure of Gaza. They wanted to destroy everything that gives way of life to the people in Gaza. So from the beginning of this genocide, they started bombing and targeting university professors, the most prominent doctors in Gaza. Right now, the number of healthcare workers who have been killed by Israel since this genocide exceeded 500 people, 500 doctors and nurses and health care professionals. Over 160 journalists were targeted while they're covering the news from Gaza. They have been killing all the top prominent professors in Gaza. They're doing this because they want to tell the people in Gaza that you don't have a way of living in Gaza, and the Palestinian people have to leave Gaza. This is ethnic cleansing, genocide and ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. And how can they do ethnic cleansing in Gaza without destroying the infrastructure, without destroying those prominent people that give way of life in Gaza, like healthcare workers and doctors and professors and teachers? They have to do that so that the people in Gaza leave Gaza and forever. So this is manufactured. It's planned. They know exactly what they're doing. They're not just killing by mistake. They're not just killing unintentionally. They know who they are killing. When they bombed my family, they knew who was in my home, and they bombed it. Nonetheless, they knew that Deir al-Balah is one of the safe areas that was instructed by Israel in October, but they bombed my family when they were sleeping in their home. They know what they're doing, and they're doing it intentionally because they want to destroy everything that gives way of life to Gaza.
And obviously, the topsoil of Gaza has been destroyed, the museums, the archaeology, redolent in some ways of the Anglo-American Israel-backed war on Syria, where they tried to destroy Palmyra and wonders of the world. How did it help you to write and create, co-found We Are Not Numbers after your brother's death?
Well, my brother was killed in 2014 in the last war, in the previous war in Gaza in 2014. And what struck me at that time is that as someone who spoke English, I realized that the Western media doesn't care much about the Palestinians. We are just numbers. No one cares about us. No one cares about our stories. We are just described as terrorists in the media. And then I was asked by an American journalist who cares about the Palestinians to write a story about my brother. And then writing the story about my brother, the process of writing a story about my brother and then sharing it with the world was some sort of therapy to me. It was therapeutic to write. So and then we decided to duplicate what happened with me and this American journalist with many other Palestinians to break the stereotypes, to give the Palestinians a platform in which they really own to tell their stories without the media misrepresentation or misinformation, a platform in which the Palestinians can write their stories unedited, unhindered, just to be themselves in this platform. And
I'm
this
not sure
was.
how much Hollywood or British publishers, many of the publishers owned by Rupert Murdoch, actually, have cottoned on to redressing this balance as regards culture. Aside from culture, though, there's a lot of talk of multipolar world and a different era we're entering. Do you think we could ever see Russia and China enter the war on the side of the Palestinians, or do you expect this present war to reach a final genocidal conclusion?
Well, believe it or not, I don't want Russia and China to come in a war because this will bring like a World War III or something. What I want is an end of this genocide, an end of this massacre, an end of this conflict between Israel and
Yeah, but
Palestine.
you know
And
Britain continues under Sir Keir Starmer, saying he wants to continue pouring the weapons in. You know that Trump and Kamala Harris, who received upwards of $5 million from the Israeli lobby, APAC,
I know that. I
you
know
know
that.
the German foreign minister, who this week was with the British defense minister, the German man Boris Pistorius, said to Netanyahu's minister Yoav Gallant, "Whatever we can do to support you." There's no signs of any stopping of the war on the people of Gaza, is there?
Yes, there is. Unfortunately, there are no many signs of stopping this genocide in Gaza. But what I want to happen, I want an end to this genocide in Gaza. And I'm not only this genocide, but I also want this conflict to end once and forever. We don't want wars. We don't want China and Russia to engage in a war against the West. I don't
So
want
then
that. I just.
what will happen? Because Netanyahu at Congress said he wanted an end to the war too. Presumably, the way he wants the war to end is
Doesn't want.
with the extermination of every man, woman, and child in Gaza.
Of course. Israel wants peace in the region only when there are no Palestinians in the region. They want a peace based on and according to their own ideology and
So is your hope with the Beijing declaration that the resistance is finally?
I don't really have hopes on China or Russia. And unfortunately, I wish there is a bigger role that they can play. I don't have much hope on them, to be honest. What we have seen in China recently, when they did this reconciliation between the Palestinian factions, is a good step. I encourage that. But at the same time, I don't have much hope because we have seen a lot of reconciliations that happened between the Palestinian factions. It never came to life, actually. So I have a lot of hopes, but unfortunately, the situation is very bleak. And I really want Russia and China to be involved in this conflict, to force Israel to stop, to pressure Israel to stop. But I don't think Russia and China will engage in a war against Israel to stop it.
So we just have to wait for this American ceasefire. I mean, what did it make you feel when you saw the United States ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, put her hand up to veto a ceasefire resolution of the Security Council?
They will do that. Of course, they will do that because I view America, I view the US as partner to Israel. They're no much different. They are the same people for me. Israel and the USA, they are the same country that is waging a genocide against the Palestinian people. America, with its weapons, with its diplomacy, with its coverage, they have enabled Israel to commit the genocide. So, of course, they will veto. They will veto any decision to enforce a ceasefire in Gaza. This is expected of them, and it's very sad. It's very, very sad that the U.S. is enabling Israel, but they made it very clear that Israel is a friend and their ally, and they're supporting Israel no matter what. So I wasn't surprised. It just made me angry. But at the same time, I'm not surprised.
So do you think the lasting impact, just finally, I mean, so many of your family died as martyrs for Palestine, but actually the lasting impact will be instability in their own countries, in the United States, in Western Europe, in Britain, because the populations of the United States and Britain support, well, seem to support you and don't support their governments.
I don't want to see instability in the West. I just want the Western governments to stop its complicity against the Palestinian people, against the civilian people in Gaza. I just want the governments to change course, because if they don't change course, I don't think it will help them or will help their people. The people in the West are waking up, and I don't think the people will put up a lot with the complicity of their governments against the people in Palestine. So I just want these governments to change course now and forever.
Ahmed Al-Nouk, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for the show. Our continued condolences to all those bereaved by UK-US EU armed genocide. We'll be back on Monday with former United Nations Assistant Secretary General Michael von der Schulenburg. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media. It's not censored in your country. And head to our channel, Going Underground TV on rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.